Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
We are back here on Love Sport London. It's the Millwall Fan Show. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the guys from No Lou Talking, Jeff Burnage, Patricia Maslin and George Lampy. Delighted to be here in our new slot on Love Sport London. Same time, same place, but a different day. Thursday evenings from here on in. If you want to catch the Millwall Fan Show, it's right here, right now, on a Thursday night here on Love Sport London. Just very quickly before we begin, Charlie Hawkins is over on Love Sport at the moment. He is hosting the Nottingham Forest Fan Show and then the West Brom Fan Show over the course of the next hour. So if you want to tune into that, feel free. But you want to stay here, really, don't you? Because it is Millwall. We are talking all things Millwall. We're talking all things Gary Rowett, January transfer windows, everything. Guys, it's great to have you back.
Thank you, Matt. Happy New Year to you, Matt.
Good, been a long time.
Good time over the festive period.
Yeah, not bad. Football-wise, not bad.
Pat couldn't remember most of it. She was drunk most of the time.
He's swinging back those Baileys, Pat.
The one thing you didn't mention there was the calibre of the pundits, Matt. I mean, you know. You've got the A team here.
Oh, I tell you what, I've missed you. We've been clutching at straws over the festive period, guys. Tell you what.
Nottingham Forest, did you say? They're on at the moment.
They're on at the moment on Love Sport National, yes.
Do you know that one time when they got promoted from the second division as it was to the first division, they had a vote on the night for player of the year and the Millwall left back won their player of the year?
Eh?
He scored an own goal that got them promoted.
No.
It's a true story. I've always got one, haven't I? Now I'll shut up for the rest of the hour.
Oh, I love what a great start. Who was that then? Who was
John
that?
Moore. Do you remember
John Moore?
John Moore, yeah.
Yeah.
After that, they changed the way they elected the man player of the year.
What era was that? When was that? Oh,
we're talking about, it was had a seven in it. Put it that way.
Oh, lovely. We like a bit of nostalgia on this show. That's what it's all about.
I've got a seven in my age as well, so...
Well, look, if you want to hear more of those nuggets, definitely stick with us. And if you want to ask any of the guys any particular questions, if you want to talk about Millwall, very easy to get in touch. 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Now, before we move on, I must say it is a big happy birthday and best wishes on an eighth birthday to friend of the show, Ellis Barr, from all of the No One Likes Us Talking team and, of course, at Love Sport Radio as well. We hope you have a lovely day. We really should have keyed up some happy birthday music, shouldn't we?
Happy birthday, Ellis.
We'll wish her a happy birthday, sweetheart. Lovely stuff. And apparently, I believe, someone in this very studio wants to talk about that pitch at the Den because it's looking a bit ropey, it's looking a bit ragged. The guys from Brentford weren't particularly happy with it, were they, Pat?
No, there wasn't. There's been a lot of speculation on social media about the state of the pitch. A lot of people questioning why. We've probably got one of the worst or the worst in the Championship at the moment. I know poor weather hasn't helped and frequent home games. Pitch is now 26 years old, long overdue for a complete overhaul. The drainage is leaking, the undersoil eating's got holes in. This was supposed to be done the last closed season, but they decided to carry it over one more year to bring some of the budget over. And I do know 1.2 million has now been signed off for a complete overhaul at the next break.
I wonder if they'll shelter raise that money then, Pat.
It could go on a player, couldn't it?
I'm being sceptical tonight, aren't I?
Don't you start being controversial.
The chairman agreed to this, and so did Harris at the time. Rowett's been told, obviously, what's happening. And all he doesn't seem to mind. All he said, Burton Albion, they didn't even have a pitch budget, so he's going to get on with it. But he does apologise every time we play. He apologises to the opposition. And I just think perhaps the club should bring out a statement as to why it's so bad. I mean, it is poor at the moment, don't you agree?
Oh, it's absolutely appalling, actually, where we are. Our pitch for the last little while to me has been very good. I don't know what you guys think, but just lately, certainly since the Christmas period, it's just gone so quickly. Yeah. You know, it's... I think you'd need to cut the grass. Keep the grass a little bit longer just to make it look better, you know. I mean...
Well, you know, or do what they did on Carry On Camping where they painted the mud green, you know, just so we can... It looks good on the TV.
Listen,
you're moaning, but, I mean, I saw Millwall play Tottenham in the FA Cup in 1967. You can still get that on a...
Different era.
On a video.
Of course, Harry Cricktail and mud bath, but you can't ask Jed to do
that,
can you?
The pitch is brown. It's lovely and flat, but it's brown.
Eamon Dunphy used to be able to play on it, didn't he, Jed?
Absolutely. I must say, I'm the most recent to have seen that pitch. I hadn't noticed it was deteriorating, but I went to the Youth Cup game last night, and even from the upper tier, you could tell that pitch was struggling.
Yeah, there's 2 tonnes of grass seed delivered today, and that's going down after the next Cup game, but I don't think that'll make any difference.
Are we in danger of changing this pitch and maybe, you know, ruining the run? That's 3 home games on the bounce, 3 victories at the moment. It's working for the players.
While we're winning, the fans aren't going to moan, are they? So I'll keep quiet.
You're not going to change the pitch quickly.
No.
You know, I mean, we went there Saturday or whatever it was, and it was so watered. You know, it was like flooded, basically. Now, if the pitch isn't in that good a condition, I'm wondering why you would water it. I mean, as a keen gardener myself, I just thought this don't look very good at all, you know.
And why would you let the under-18s play on it last night?
You have to play the games at the Den.
The FA Youth Cup, yeah. It's almost mandatory to play at your main stadium. Mm. There have been exceptions made, but they're rare, and you've got to have a very good reason.
Okay.
It's a great point, though, that you raised, Pat, but it is interesting, isn't it? I mean, Newport, incidentally, are a team at Rodney Parade who have a terrible pitch, especially at this time of the year, which they normally benefit from. They're on a terrible run of form at the moment, but you'd imagine that their results at home might just start to turn around because the pitch isn't great. If the guys can continue to produce this run of form, or whether it's anything to do with the pitch, I don't know. But like you say, George, it's going to take a while for this to go ahead, so it might take a massive rebuilding job in the summer. But listen, guys, we left you, it was around mid-December, our last show. Since then, it's not been too shabby at all. Let's rattle through the fixtures because it was a defeat to Barnsley. Why are we laughing for? Hey, what are you chuckling about?
No. I want to rattle through the Barnsley game.
You can't
that's for
keep
sure.
them under wraps in here, I tell you. They're back after 9 minutes, they've already got them on the loose. But no, of course, a defeat to Barnsley, yes, at home. A shock defeat, really, to be fair. I was on the train. I got the train in to do my shift that evening, by the way. Completely mistimed it. I had a complete blank that the fans would be streaming out of the station. That got feisty on the train, I tell you. Barnsley fans, they are a brave bunch. Absolutely. Singing and dancing and saying the Reds are going to stay up. An unfortunate victory, I suppose, there. We then had, of course, the game up in Cardiff against your old boy, Neil Harris. And then 3 wins on the bounce. The Brentford win in particular, I think, a fantastic victory. And, of course, beating Luton, being 1 down and coming back to win that game. Huge, huge, George. It's been a pretty decent run.
Oh, I think it's... I mean, you mentioned the Barnsley game. I mean, they were bottom. It was just meant to happen, I think. We were all pretty sure of that. The Luton one, I think, was a really interesting game because I think Rowlett just picked the wrong team that day in the first half. I think he... You know, you may remember that I mentioned if we play with one man up front and if it's Smith, then you're going to have to get your 3 midfield guys behind him up with him quickly. That didn't happen. No fault of Smith's that he's not a fast player because he's getting on a little bit, so, you know. But at least Rowlett showed in that game that he was willing to change it and change it quickly.
Well, that's what I love about that. It was around 40 minutes, wasn't it? He
that's
brought
right.
Bradshaw
yeah.
on.
It was very... scored, but he was in the process of doing it. So
he recognised yeah, it, and he yeah. had the tactical nous to go, I need to change this. And, of course, that yeah. then supported Smith, and the second half was what it yeah. was.
And that's right. And I thought that showed a side of him that we hadn't seen before, that he, you know, I thought he had genuinely made. If he had left it as it was, we would have gone on and lost that game. That team was not going to come back and win in the way that, without the, you know, the substitutes and that.
I think Luton will finish 24th.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could take it this way, that he was lucky that he was playing against a poor side to be able to come back, because the first half was absolutely tragic, mm. wasn't it? And George has put his finger right on why it was as well. Many of us were surprised that he didn't sacrifice Smith. He chose not to, and he got proved right. Absolutely right. So, well done to the manager. Brentford the week before, we all loved that one. Brentford blaming the pitch. Come on, pull the other one, Brentford. I think they're a very good side, by the way. I think they'll be up there. So that was a great win. Barnsley, we got back in the game, we got the equaliser, and then going for a winner, Jed decided to take somebody on at the edge of his own third,
mm.
and he was not a popular man on the way home.
Could possibly give him one, though, right?
He'd done it two or three times before and got away with it, but noticeably, he hasn't even tried to take anybody on in that position since. I think certain people, including his fellow teammates, would have said something which I can't repeat on this programme to him, but that was the story of that game. Barnsley weren't much cop. We gave them the game with that mistake.
And Matt Smith yeah. as well. Listen, there's a guy that we've spoken about many times on the show. I thought that when Rowett took over, that might actually spell the end of Matt Smith, but he's kind of gone from strength to strength, really, hasn't he? Scored in back-to-back games as well.
He's been leaving him out, though, but he's brought him back in and he's worked out how to use him.
Mm.
And you can't argue. The game that what was the game he made one and scored one? Was that Newport or Luton?
I can't remember.
It was unplayable against Luton. I mean, he had a hand in... he scored one against Newport, of course.
Having been, shall we say, I'll pick my words carefully, he wasn't effective in the first half against Luton, was he?
No, not
right?
at all. No.
But in the end, we've scored two games running, and he's been a big part of it. So the manager's done well there.
He needs to have somebody, and I think Rowlett has worked that out, that he needs to have somebody with him. Bradshaw's in red hot form at the moment. So you pay you like a big guy, little guy, don't you? And that's where Smith comes into his own, because he's going to worry anybody.
And a big win. You mentioned the FA Youth Cup, Pat, as well. A big win against Fleetwood.
Well, my two fellows here, neither of those managed to get down there for 7 o'clock last night.
I watched the first half, and it was
on
so
telly.
Bad.
It was
I
on
didn't
telly.
Watch the second half.
I have really missed a Youth Cup game in the whole of my time at Millwall. And
tell Matt Gorn, who's watched most Millwall games over the years at Millwall, whether it includes senior games. Amateur games, Youth Cup games.
It's you, George.
Very impressive.
It was a Millwall performance. We were dreadful in the first half. And I've been involved in youth development all my time at Millwall, and I was very depressed at half time. But I did note to my colleague next to me that for all their dominance, and Fleetwood were all over us, they hadn't actually had a shot on target apart from the penalty. Which I thought, you know what, this game could turn, and it did. And once Millwall went down to 10 men, we were a different team. And it was a really good evening to win that 3-1. We're in the last 16 of the Youth Cup again, and can't wait to see what the draw's going to bring.
Lovely stuff. Well, of course, the draw in the FA Senior Cup is at home to Sheffield United. We're going to get onto that later. Plenty more coming up, of course, on the Millwall Fan Show. But just to recap on everything we've discussed thus far, guys, 2 defeats in 15. And you can look at it, really, because when you look at Rowett's first 3 games, it was a draw, a win and a loss all shared. So that's just 1 defeat in 12. You can look at Leeds, West Brom, the two teams that are rivaling that in the Championship. Oxford United having a very good run. I think they've got 2 defeats in 16 in League One. But this is promotion form from Gary Rowett, isn't it?
I think we're third on how we're doing at the moment, on performance. I think we're third in the league. So, yeah, you're definitely talking playoff place, and I think we can do it.
Oh, she thinks we can do
well,
it.
We were discussing this outside. I do. I can perhaps not winning the playoffs, but I can certainly see us toying with them.
Yeah.
Do no one agree?
You're looking a bit glum, Jeff. Come on.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
I'd love to see us get in the playoffs.
See that little smirk on his face there, Matt.
And there is a good chance that we might. But I think the jury's still out a little bit. But it was wonderful going home in sixth place the other day, wasn't it?
Oh,
did
fantastic.
Did that not feel good?
That was great. And Swansea, blimmin' Charlton. Charlton losing to Swansea, typical the next day.
But what do we want? Do we want Charlton getting a result?
It's a difficult one, that.
Tough.
You know, that was nearly as bad as West Ham versus Palace in the playoff final the other year.
Rocking a hard place. Yeah. Right. OK, we are going to move on. But before we do, Lionesses goalkeeper Kelly Webster was announced by the Millwall Community Trust. That is the MCT, by the way, as an ambassador on January the 1st. Great start to the year for Kelly. She has had a long relationship with Millwall, both as part of the Millwall Lionesses team and as part of the Supporter Club Association. Sean Daly, MCT CEO, that's Millwall Community Trust Chief Executive Officer, said, "We're so pleased Kelly has accepted our invitation to be an ambassador for MCT. This is in recognition of everything she has done to support Millwall and the trust work within the local community over the last 30 years. Kelly herself said, "I'm both thrilled and delighted to accept the role of an ambassador for the Millwall Community Trust. It's an absolute honour for me to be offered this role. I've seen the difference the work of the Trust makes to the local community, and I cannot wait to help support the Trust, as Millwall is a family to me." Wonderful news there. Well deserved, Kelly. We'll be back in a moment.
I didn't realise I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorised it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
It's the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport, back here on Love Sport, on Love Sport London, no less. You can catch us now every Thursday. That's not Friday, that's every Thursday at 9 p.m. Me, Matt Beardall, with the guys from Nolu talking, as always, Patricia Maslin, Jeff Burnage and George Lampy with me. Not as always, sometimes it's different. Sometimes we have Stan in here as well. Do miss Stan and Dave, of course. We miss the good guys. And Gary as well, of course. He often jumps in and we have a nice little chat about Millwall. But before we move
we
on, we're going to speak
to...
guys,
so did you notice that?
Yeah.
No, you're all good guys. Of course you are. We're going to do a bit more Lionesses chatting in a moment with Colin Reid, the Millwall Lionesses manager. But before we do that, we've got a WhatsApp in from Annie and Timothy, who have said that this question actually comes from their 10-year-old grandson, who goes to home and away fixtures. So good on him. He says, "Then the final whistle goes. My grandson tries his hardest to say hello to the players. I understand they've worked hard, but just a quick hello to the children does not hurt." So guys, this is a 10-year-old lad who goes to the games and tries to say hello to the players after the game, but isn't able to do it, Pat.
Right. Away games, the players always come over to the fans at the end of the game. They don't know. They always come over and applaud anyone who's gone away. For home games, I would probably recommend you get there about 12:30, 1 o'clock. The players are always happy to have photos done, sign autographs, have a chat. And the community centre's open for the junior Lions to go in, so you won't be standing around for an hour or so. So that's probably the best thing for him.
What's his name, the young man?
We'll ask Annie and Timothy, please, to message us back in. 0208 7020 558. Just give us a bit more information.
Well, there'll be people listening. If you'd like to say which block he's in, you know, what part of the ground he's in, there'll be someone at Millwall listening in, and you never know your luck. One of the players might come over and say, are you Freddie or whatever his name is? Let's hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, but I suppose it's difficult away games as well. You know what stewards can be like when the opposition players go over to the stand. It's very difficult to get close to the fans. And I suppose some people as well, maybe it's difficult to get there at 12:30. You've got to wait, that's like, 2.5 hours before kickoff. I suppose some people, that's maybe hard, especially with a 10-year-old.
Yeah, but Millwall do put on a lot of events for the junior lines, don't they? There's drawing and that in the community centre next door. Yeah. So it's not as if they're hanging around. I'm sure just one week if they got there early. I mean, you could have a photo done with all the players as they come in.
And there's a community event in the summer and the junior lines party, Christmas party at Christmas. And the players mix with all the kids really well at those two events. So, I'm sure by the time he's 11, he'd have had a much better experience. I hope so.
Yeah, let's hope so. Thanks for the message, by the way, Annie and Timothy. And like I said, if you want to give us some more information, and we can perhaps pass that on for you, 0208 7020 558. Now, we spoke about Kelly Webster before the ads and the fact that she's now an ambassador for the Millwall Community Trust, also a goalkeeper for the Lionesses. Tonight, we're joined by the manager of the Lionesses, Colin Reid. Now, Colin has set the bar high for his team to return to where they had come from following the challenges of being relocated back down the Women's Football League pyramid. Hello, Colin. Thanks for joining us.
Good evening. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Thanks for coming on. Firstly, Kelly Webster, big news.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we need to congratulate her. She's a lifelong Millwall nut, a fan. So, you know, it makes sense just to sort of give her that role, an ambassador role. I don't know exactly what she'll be doing, but I know whatever she's asked to do, she'll represent the club. And like I said, it's an honour and a privilege for her, and I know that she's really proud to be given that, you know, ambassador role.
I have to say, Colin, every time we do the show and I get certain notes handed to me, whenever it's about the Lionesses, it's always about a resounding victory for the women. It's been a pretty good season thus far, isn't it? Going into the Christmas break, top of the league, things are looking pretty good.
They are looking pretty, you know, well for us at the moment. But like I said, nothing's been won. So, you know, I pushed them hard and I'll continue to do so. And I said, you don't become league champions at Christmas, you know, until the season's finished, probably end of April. You know, nothing's positive in terms of we're champions. So I'm saying to them, every game we take one at a time, and that's a cliche but it's true. And like I said, we have to keep going, and you know, it's a long old season. You have to be resilient. At the moment things have gone well, and like I said, we continue to prepare as we have done all the way throughout the season, and just take one game at a time. And hopefully we've got a little break from the league at the weekend. We've got a cup game. So we're looking forward to you know, take a break from the league and push on into the next round of cup.
Evening, Colin. It's Jeff here.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Very good. Looking forward to Sunday. I know it's a League Cup game, but the team you're playing is in Tier 5. That's one above where we are. So it will be a good result if we can get past them into the League Cup. That will put us into the last eight, wouldn't it?
It would do indeed. So, yeah. Like I said, although they're the division, we have a... respect all our opponents, but like I say, we go in there with no fear, and we're very much looking forward to playing against Dunstable. So you know, Sunday we'll be ready. Hopefully everyone will be prepared, and we'll do our best to get into the next round.
How's the recruitment side of it going, Colin, at the moment?
Well, it's something that I want to look into. You know, we'd like the opportunity to offer any listeners out there the chance, because as the season goes on, I think it's always good to freshen it up with some new faces. It keeps that competition element going. And when you bring a new face in or two, then, you know, like I say, it freshens it up. And it's great if we can, you know, say to any of the listeners out there, look, if you're playing at the level that we're at or indeed higher, then contact us. Contact us on various sort of media. We've got the Instagram, we've got the Twitter, Millwall_LFC. So we'd like to hear from anyone who's interested, who wants to play at a club that offers all what we offer. So there's an opportunity for, you know, players who may be not happy where they are and want a fresh challenge.
Hello, Colin. This is George, mate. Just want to wish you well done. I mean, you're top of the league at the moment. I think I'm right in saying that, yeah.
We are at the moment, George, so long may that continue.
I mean, did you anticipate that this is where you would be at this stage of the season after such a bumpy start, you know, the way it all panned out for you guys? I mean, did you think this might be the case, or was you just wishing it would be?
No, I said when I come in, my target, and we made it very clear at the start, I went on the record as saying I want to win the league. I want to get promoted, but primarily we want to go up as champions. So, you know, we'll keep doing what we're doing. And like I said, you know, sometimes you don't get games because you have cup games and you could be behind because you haven't played as many games as others. But, yeah, there is one team that's unbeaten in the league and we have drawn one. So we've yet to play them. So, you know, nothing's been won yet. I'll continue to say, look, you know, we need to go out and win every game. So, yeah, at the moment we're sitting at top, but like I say, it's most important that we're sitting there come the end of April, the end of the season.
What about the support you get from Millwall fans, Colin?
Yeah, the support, Jeff, as you know, is fantastic. We've had some really good, you know, crowds over there. You mentioned previously, I just heard, you know, they was talking about the youngsters and the junior Lions. We invite everybody over to St Paul's. It's a fantastic way to play our games when we're at home. Unfortunately, for the foreseeable future, we haven't got many games at home, but when we are playing at home, we should get that out there and get as many there. But the fans support, we all value. I know, you know, the players love that and it makes for an atmosphere. So, you know, I think when other sides come, they're surprised how many people we've got there. So we continue to look forward to the support that we're giving. And hopefully we'll get even more there as the season progresses.
Hello, Colin. It's Pat here. You had another win last Sunday away to Lawford Ladies. What were your thoughts on that performance?
Pat, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I'm going to say this. I wasn't there. I'm naughty of me.
Right, well, you don't hear a manager
we'll
say that
bit on the podcast.
they done fantastic. The result, we won. So, you know, Jay, my assistant, and Emma were there, loyal there, so they took that. The girls had a little bit of a break. We didn't win as many as what I anticipated, but, you know, a win is a win, and I take full responsibility for not winning as many as what we would have liked to have. But like I said, when you win, it's a nice problem to have. So whether you win ugly, we won. I had a prior commitment, which I didn't really tell anyone because I didn't want to disrupt, you know, the preparation. In my capacity and my role in the Football Association and coach development and education. So I've got capable staff around me. I left them to it and the players went away and secured a 4-2 win. So, you know, congratulations to them. And like I said, we look forward to this week's game as well.
Nice one, mate. It's been great having you on, Colin. Just quickly, you said looking forward to this week. Who you got next?
We're playing AFC Dunstable away in the Cup. So, like I say, they are a division or a level higher than us. But like I said, we won't fear anybody and we very much look forward to the game.
Lovely stuff. Colin, thank you very much joining us. That was Colin Reid there, Millwall Lionesses manager, on a great run at the moment, the Lionesses. I know, Jeff, you follow them closely, just like you do the FA Youth Cup, just like you do the senior team. I mean, you are just Mr. Millwall, basically, aren't you?
Steady on.
Listen, before we move
I'm looking
on
at your Jaffa cakes you've got behind you. I'm thinking about that more than anything else. I'm starving.
A bit of transfer talk before we move on, guys. Of course, now, Superjet. We've spoken about him many times and the potential moves that we were hearing about before the Christmas break. Aston Villa are apparently readying a £10 million move. That hasn't happened yet. Both him and Gary Rowett have been nominated for the December Player of the Month Awards and Manager of the Month Awards in the EFL. So looking forward to seeing what happens then. The Bartman just goes from strength to strength as well. The stats, by the way, 120 shots against this season for Millwall. Only 32 have got past him. It seems like every game that goes by, there's a Twitter clip of another brilliant save from Bart Bielkowski. He has, of course, extended his stay to the end of the season. Gary Rowett wants him to stay at the club, so that should hopefully happen in the summer. Jack Clark from Spurs, of course, he's returned to Spurs from Leeds, spent the first half of the season back on loan at his old club Leeds. He's now back at Spurs, didn't really get any minutes at Leeds, was troubled by injuries, but a lot of people thinking that he's not quite the player that really Maurizio Pochettino spent about £10 million on. So I don't know about that particular signing. Miles Hippolyte, of course, from Yeovil, formerly of Brentford, is interesting. Mr. Rowett and Tom Elliott, lastly, he has gone to Salford City. Your thoughts on that one?
Just wish him the best of luck.
Yeah.
He never really made it with us. Can only wish him the best of luck.
Yeah, good luck, Tom. All the best there. It's an up-and-coming club. It's League Two. You should go and tear it up there, mate. Good luck to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there was a convincing call from a certain Gary Neville to just twist his arm on who he should go to, and Salford City was certainly the right
is
answer
that true?
For him. Oh, well, I don't know. I would imagine that he probably did, didn't he? Right,
it's
Gary
good radio,
Neville?
Isn't it?
Well, yeah. But it is now. This
but
is
Clark, the, if you don't know, make it up.
Clark is an interesting one, though, isn't he? Because I saw him at Leeds, I think, last season, and he looked really good. And I thought, this boy, you know, and then he seems to have died a death, you know. But it don't mean that a player goes down. It don't mean he can come back up. Should we be in for a player of his quality, he could blossom at our place.
Yeah, we were speaking to the Spurs fans outside about him, and they rated him, didn't they? They said it would be a good loanee. And Millwall tends to make good loanees out of Spurs players, don't they?
He's 19, isn't he?
With Kane, and yeah.
He's 19. And
so he's got it all going.
If he comes, he'll need to come and play games. And he's a wide player.
Hmm.
So that raises questions, doesn't it? We've got Conor Mahoney,
who is back on form, you might say.
We've got Jed Wallace, who can play in other positions, of course. You've got Aiden, who's playing out wide left. You've got Shane Ferguson. I don't think what appears in the newspapers is actually always a very fair representation of what is actually going on.
Do you reckon?
On the transfer front.
I don't know.
What do you know, Jeff?
We're all very surprised at that.
Right. Well, I planted a few good stories in the media in my time.
I'm sure you have. We've got the Fan in the Dugout next on Here, the Millwall Fan Show.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
The Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport London. Me, Matt Beadle, and the guys from No Loo Talking. We're with you for around another 20, 22 minutes or so. And we are going to move to the Fan in the Dugout now, because this week's Fan in the Dugout is a 23-year-old Millwall fan trying his hand at a bit of football, writing on his blog, Ryan Reviews, Millwall 2019-2020. He is also an avid tweeter. He declares that his love of football is founded in his love of Millwall, going to games since the age of six. What age did you start, you guys? George, what time did you start?
About that age, I should imagine.
Really? 6 years old, Jeff?
I was first taken as a babe in arms and regularly from the age of five.
Really? That mirrors nicely your family, right? Because
that's why we do it. It's a family tradition.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah, Pat? I was 10, but then my mum used to wash their kits in the 50s, so we've always been linked.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Look at that. We go back generations and generations of Millwall fans.
I just used to have to bunk in. I wasn't tied in like these guys.
Well, back to the Fan in the Dugout. Born and raised in Lewisham as well. Currently living away from the UK. And by the way, judging by the picture on his Twitter account, I would say in far sunnier climes. Ryan James, welcome to the Millwall Fan Show.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening, boss. Thank you for coming on tonight. Of course, now, far sunnier climes. Are you prepared to reveal your destination at present?
Oh, I'm back in the UK as of a week ago.
Oh, lovely.
I do need to update that. Yeah. The picture is from a few years ago in Spain. I mean, back in England in the rain, which is a bit disappointing.
Have you returned to the southeast of London?
Yes, back home.
Oh, mate.
London.
Lovely.
Both broke from the den.
So, talk to me a bit about this blog, Ryan Reviews, Millwall 2019-2020.
Yeah, it's just something I fancied doing. Like you say, I was living away at the beginning of this season, away from home, so I haven't been able to go down to Millwall the last few seasons as much with being at university, things like that. So while I was away, I figured I could get the iFollow pass and watch all of the games. So I just fancied doing a bit of writing and throwing my hat in the ring with a constant football chat and saying my bit about Millwall, really, because none of my friends want to talk to me about it because they all support large rubbish clubs.
Idiots.
So, I have to find people online to talk to me about it.
Hello, Ryan. It's George.
Hi, George. How are you?
Hello, mate. I'm fine, thank you. Where do you see any reinforcements in this transfer window? Should we dabble?
I think I'm always sceptical about bringing people in January. I think you look at the squad there, it's a small squad. There's definitely places that need to come in. I was on the Real Millwall fan show on Acton Millwall, and I've been constantly berated for my criticism of Murray Wallace at left back. I think that's an area we need to strengthen. Murray Wallace is obviously good, serviceable, filling in a position, but it's a position we need to strengthen. Obviously, you guys are just talking about Jack Clark there. Left wing's another place we need to potentially look at. I think they're better off looking at those positions maybe in the summer when Rowett's had a bit more time to do scouting. The main position for this January window would be centre midfield. If you look, we've got two options in Malumbi and Williams, and obviously Billy Mitchell on the bench, but not quite ready for first team. Tomo's out for most of the season. Leonard's still not clear when he's back. So we could do with one or two, really, depending on obviously the length of the injuries. So one or two coming in there, maybe a different, maybe a bit more ball-playing sort of midfielder. Obviously, bringing someone in as well would let Billy Mitchell go out on loan, which would probably be best for him. Better than having him sitting on the bench and not playing for the under-23s. He's in a bit of limbo at the moment. But I think it won't be as busy as people are anticipating, but centre-mid has to definitely be the priority.
Good evening, Ryan. It's Jeff here. I totally agree with you. That is, for me, the priority for exactly the reason you've just given. You know, God help us if we want to play three in midfield because we've only got two midfield players.
Exactly. It's limited enough at the moment.
It's very unfortunate that Tomo's out for as long as he is because he was absolutely flying when he got injured. And I personally had high hopes for Ryan Leonard. Not everybody thought he was doing great. I thought he was doing fine. He's box to box and we have missed him, in my opinion. I just think it's very unfortunate for him that a new manager's come in and hasn't got the faintest idea whether Ryan Leonard should be in his teams, in his plans or not. Nevertheless, we've got to strengthen in centre midfield. I do agree.
Yeah, I think that it is a shame what you say about Ryan Leonard. He, I found myself sticking up for him a lot. I think on one of my early blog posts when I highlight my player of the match, I called one of them player of the match, parentheses, a defence of Ryan Leonard, because he came in for so much stick early on the season. When you look at his stats, he was probably one of our best performing mid players in midfield. He was doing a job he was asked of him. He wins tackles and plays it off to better ball players. And I think, like you say, it's a shame he's been out. And I think his value will be realised when he comes back from injury, I think.
Hello, Ryan. It's Pat speaking here.
Hi, Pat.
Hi. Coming to the end of the decade, or at the end, what's been your most memorable game over the past 10 years?
There's a few. I think, obviously, the two playoff finals, one at the beginning and one towards the end, stand out. But I think, unfortunately, they were not the most memorable of games in themselves, more the occasion. I think if you're looking at memorable games, the FA Cup ties against Everton and Leicester. Obviously, the Everton had to come back, the pouring rain. You had to turn it off on the screen afterwards, and the Leicester beating the champions of England at home in front of a packed den. They're four really that stand out for me and are just kind of classic Millwall occasions.
Yeah, right. And Leeds away, obviously, the 4-3 win.
Yeah, that was the fifth one on my list.
Oh, okay.
The 4-3 win.
Well done, Pat.
Right, mate, it's been great having you on, boss. Just before you go, Pat said at the top of the show that she thinks Millwall can do it, and by that she means, you know, getting into the playoffs and potentially the playoff final. Do you agree?
Oh, it'll be tricky, I think. The way the championship is, it's going to be an absolute scramble for those last four spots. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, but I think it might actually be better for Millwall to finish high this season and then push for it properly next year, I think.
Nice. I like that. I like that, Ryan. That's the very reason Pat's shaking her head, by the way.
I wouldn't turn down being promoted this year. I just think the club might be in a better position to do it next season.
Yeah, absolutely. Mate, just to confirm, at Ryan James Loftus is where people can find you on Twitter, right?
Yeah, at Ryan James Loftus, and the link for the blog is on there and everything. So anyone wants to have a read, then yeah, head over there.
Lovely stuff. Ryan James, thank you very much for joining us. That was Ryan James there, the fan in the dugout. I tell you what, I don't think we've got time for Millwall Legend of the Week, Pat. Now, should we just skip this one, shall we?
Not bother with it. You've been talking to Eamon, haven't you?
It is, of course. We're going to do it because we have got time. Of course, I was, of course, going to allow time. We are going to do it because it is the heartthrob, the absolute dish of a man that is Steve Morrison, Pat. I believe you're quite a fan.
I want to know who put this one forward.
So, Steve Morrison, two spells at Millwall, two very good spells with Millwall. Let's just do a quick 30 seconds each on what we think. George, I'll start with you.
Well, I tend to think of legends as people maybe a little bit older than Steve, but Steve has contributed greatly to Millwall. I mean, we are in the Championship because of his goal. I have been told that I don't get a lift home tonight off Pat if I don't say he's a legend. He's been a great servant to Millwall. I don't know if I would put him in the legend category, though, if I'm honest.
Jeff?
I'm glad George mentioned the goal at Wembley, which Lee Gregory set up, and that was a great duo to have over the little period we had them, what was it, 3 years or so. So replacing that was a task, and I think Neil did a good job in replacing them. Time will tell. A great contribution. Not easy to get a smile out of him at times, but he was a very determined guy, a winner through and through, probably a very bad loser, which isn't a bad thing in a professional footballer. And he's doing quite a good job on being a pundit now, as well as being a coach, I think, at Northampton. Is that right?
Yes.
So all the best to Steve Morrison for scoring that goal at Wembley. Legend.
Oh, right. There we go. One apiece.
Yeah, I'll give you some statistics, right? 366 appearances for our club. 92 goals, 66 assists, all-time third top goal scorer, voted in Team of the Decade. How can you say this man is not a legend?
She was telling me he had lovely blue eyes before.
This section should be renamed Legend, Hero or Heartthrob.
No,
how can you argue with anybody that's telling you he's got lovely blue glassy eyes?
He and Gregory were the most prolific duo for two seasons in all leagues.
And they scored a few goals as well.
Exactly. I'm sorry, it's a legend.
I agree with Pat, legend.
Well, I've got to say, that is 2-1 for the legend there. The silver fox that is Steve Morrison. Of course, I believe he's gone into greyhound racing now, hasn't he? He had a heavy involvement with Grant Holt, I think, when they were at Norwich.
Yeah.
Which, and by the way, is another, I know it's not specifically about Millwall, but you love to see it. Of course, he was at Northampton at the start of his career, then went into non-league. You guys got him from Stevenage Borough, and he went all the way up to the Premier League with Norwich. That's what you love to see, isn't it? You love to see these players, these Jamie Vardy type stories, because it is a bit like that, I suppose.
And going back to what we were talking about earlier, where we play Smith sometimes on his own, when Steve came to us first, he's a big built fella, he was pacey. When we used to play him on his own up the front, and he could do such a good job because he was so built for it. He was fast, he was strong. And that's what, if you're going to play one man up front, that's how you have to have your player.
And it's a lesson on how you should never give up hope if you're a young player. He got league football at Northampton. He must have played about 20 games there. Do you know where he went from there? Bishop Stortford. Mm. That's a long way down from Northampton in the football pyramid. And he's fought his way back up. Legend for me. And Pat, I get the lift home now instead of George.
Lovely stuff. Well, there we go. Steve Morrison, of course, you are a Millwall legend. This is the Millwall Fan Show. Next up, we're going to be previewing that game at home to Stoke.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
It's the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport. It's right in here tonight, I tell you. Just a joke a minute in this studio. It's been a pleasure having the guys from the No Lou Talking podcast back. We've got Jeff, Patricia and George with us. We're with you for another 8 minutes or so, and we're going to get onto that game against Stoke. But first, of course, we had Colin Reid, the Lionesses manager, on earlier. And they are still recruiting and they still want you. So if you want first team football this season, if you want more than playing development level football this season, if you want football development from an A-licensed coach, then please, if you have the commitment and the dedication, email the Lionesses media at millwall-lionesses.com. That is media at millwall-lionesses.com. Jeff, you've just got a little something to add to that.
Yeah, if anybody out there knows somebody that's thinking about coming along to Millwall Lionesses, the squad's quite small. Everyone will get games. And at the level that they've put us to, it's roll on, roll off substitutes. So everyone gets plenty of minutes. So if you know someone that will benefit from playing for a fantastic women's football club, you know what to do.
Yep, absolutely. Women's football is certainly where it's at the moment. A big business. Attendance is soaring. So now is as good a time as any. George, I'm coming over to you now because Millwall, of course, host Stoke City. The first win for Gary Rowett, of course, in his managerial tenure at the club. You've got some away day travel tips.
Yes, I've indeed. If you're arriving by Row, fans can use the Terrace Leek Road, which is a 5-minute walk from Stoke Station. Double-decker buses from there to the ground and back cost £4 return. As far as parking is concerned, at the stadium is located in a business park out of town. There are quite a lot of spaces near the ground. Prices are generally around about £5 to park, and you will leave you within walking distance of the stadium. Near the ground, the Harvester restaurant, 5 minutes northeast of the stadium, I never know how anybody would know where northeast is, but there you go, is the most prominent bar in the area. Away fans in a small number are welcome. Also, the nearby Power League five-a-side centre also welcomes away fans. Last but not least, there are no cash turnstiles or ability to buy tickets on the day. And that is from the police.
OK, well, get your compasses out because you need to figure out where North East is. So travel with your compasses, everybody. Hey, you got one, George?
No, I actually show him how to do it on the phone.
Okay, well, the game against Stoke itself, like I said, that was the game that really sort of the catalyst for Gary Rowett's tenure at Millwall. Like I said, just those two defeats in 15 since he took over. Stoke, alternatively, have had Michael O'Neill in charge since not long after Rowett was appointed, to be fair. 8th of November, he came in. They started with two wins on the bounce. It's been pretty stop-start since then. They had three defeats on the bounce. Then it's pretty much been one drawn, one lost, one lost, one lost. They can't seem to keep a run together. They're down at the wrong end of the Championship, just one place and one point above that relegation zone. Millwall, of course, just one point and one place below the playoff zone. So, Pat, how is this one going to go?
I think we're going to win this one. I think Rowett might get a hard time at Stoke. What does he do? Half a season there? It was absolutely
8 months or so
dire. Yeah, that was really bad. So he might get a lot of stick, but I think we're going to win this one. I think we're going to win this one 3-1.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you look at the stick as well, it's one of those, and you kind of, you know, be careful what you wish for. Because if you look at Stoke since Gary Rowett left the club, they've been in turmoil. Yes, Michael O'Neill has got good pedigree. You'd like to think that maybe he'll turn it around, but they are down there in a perilous position, Jeff.
I was surprised when he left Stoke, actually, because he hadn't been there really all that long. And they weren't doing that badly. But they're ambitious people that own Stoke City. They're the people involved at Bet365. Mm-hmm. They've got plenty of money and they see themselves being in the Premier League, and perhaps they didn't see enough progress quickly enough. They then went for what was the outstanding manager in the lower divisions.
Nathan Jones.
He's been gone too long for those Motown fans. That was a song. There's probably one out there.
Was he a singer? Nathan Jones,
You've Been Gone Too Long was the Supremes hit, by the way, but never mind. I've come out with some absolute corkers, haven't I, tonight?
That's what you bring to this
and
show,
Jeff. Of course, Nathan Jones, you know, was nothing like as good as Gary Rowett as a manager. They've now got Michael O'Neill, who's not done club football. They were in the bottom three when he got the job, am I right in thinking that? They've just about scraped out of it. It just goes to show, please do not get off to a bad start in the Championship. It's very, very hard work getting out of that bottom zone. Player for player, they've got some really good players in their team. So that will not be an easy game. Joe Allen, he'd go in our midfield, wouldn't he?
Oh, he'd go most.
Right, so yeah. I don't think we can take this one lightly. I still think we'll win.
Oh, there he goes, fighting talk from Jeff. And you're right, they do have a decent calibre of players. Jack Butland currently, again, being touted around various Premier League clubs. He's just starting to come back into form. Adam Davies played against Brentford, the goalkeeper they signed from Barnsley, who had a great League One Team of the Year last season, along with James Shea as well. I think it was 19 clean sheets apiece. He's played one game this season. So whether Jack Butland will remain at the club, you don't know. You can't see what's going to happen there. Adam Federici is also the number two, the number three, however you want to look at that three-pronged goalkeeping department. But George, they do have good personnel, but then so do Millwall.
Yeah, we do. But I think Stoke are a team that's underachieved for quite a long time, for a few years now. We are doing very well, and I think our team must be thinking very confident. I'm going to be interested in how Rowett plays in formation-wise, because he changes it quite a bit, and he certainly seems to have worked when he's changed it around for away games. And I'm with the guys on this. I'm not going to go for a draw for once. I think we're actually going to win a game.
Oh, my word. It's a new year. It's a new decade. George has turned over a new leaf. I just very quickly also want to touch. We didn't really discuss Conor Mahoney. Now, this is a player, again, that we also speak about on the show. And we said he hasn't really fulfilled that potential, what, 950 odd grand it was from Bournemouth. The past couple of games, guys, he's just started to show us what he's got in his locker.
Yeah, I mean, he had an injury, didn't he? He picked up an injury and didn't play for a while. But I think the last couple of games, he's come on, and the last one was brilliant, wasn't it? Against Newport.
Yeah,
Newport in the FA Cup.
Yeah, he set up a goal and scored one.
Do you think he'll start, Pat?
No, I don't.
Don't you? It'll probably be the 3-5 at the back again for the away game, do you think, George?
Possibly. He's a little bit... It might be, for Connor, it might be a bit like Malumbi. He might just have to play the games, you know, get a lot of games, and then Malumbi's come to the fore.
Certainly showing what he's got, hasn't he?
Yeah. The only thing with Connor that I'm a little bit concerned about is his pace. He's got a lovely touch, and we can see that with the goals and the assists. My only concern is his pace.
I've got just one thing. We haven't signed a player yet. Unless we do it tomorrow, it's the same squad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Billy Mitchell, that's an important player at the moment, because I know they think very highly of him. Neil felt very highly about him, and I'm delighted he got his full game in the cup against Newport County. Yeah. I think he's likely to figure over the next few weeks.
Wonderful stuff. Mm. Well, we are at the end of this hour. Just to finish, another Mitchell has said regarding Jeb Wallace, I have to say he's playing out of this world, but I believe that is because of the super play by Marlon Romeo. There we go, feeding him so well. This has been the Millwall Fan Show on Love Sport. We'll see you next Thursday at 9 p.m.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.